The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. It's a beautiful
aging works in different ways for everyone. It all starts from the inside. Welcome to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. We'll show you how the latest breakthroughs in understanding how to balance and optimize your body, proper nutrition, and supplements work together to keep you looking young, losing weight, and feeling rejuvenated. Now, here's Dr. Tang and Alexandra.
Hello, hello, good afternoon. This is Dr. Tang. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Alexandra, and you're listening to the Health and Beauty for Life show.
Welcome, everyone, to our show. And today, funny enough, Dr. Tang, we're going to be talking about belly fat. And I was actually, before I came onto the show, I was actually in my favorite hair salon, Salon Mona Lisa, in Los Gatos, California. And believe it or not, all those ladies were already complaining about all the weight they've been gaining over this last month. The moment I walked in there, there's like cookies everywhere and girls talking about different diets and, you know, how they want to look good in the little red dress this holiday weekend and blah, blah, blah. And I told Lisa, who's the owner of Mona Lisa, and she does my hair. I mentioned to her how funny that's the exact topic that we're going to be talking about today is that belly fat, that stubborn belly fat. And I'm sure that middle section, especially us women, we're so particular about it. I'm sure it's grown a few inches. Hello?
Yeah, I think we're having a little connection problem, but okay, I think we're okay. Well, you know, that's a very interesting topic for a lot of women and men. And I like this topic a lot because it really actually, I think, combines some of our particular strengths at our clinic, because, you know, it is, I think, a combination of, let's look at this. And when people come in actually to our clinic, a lot of them are actually looking to do a procedure. And that's part of what I'm going to be talking about today is, you know, what can we do to help get rid of this? But what I'm also thinking as well is, you know, how did you get to this point to begin with? And, you know, a lot of the younger patients, they just want to get, you know, corrected and either suck it out or treat it. You know, they're not thinking, you know, okay, how did I get this? But I'm always wanting to at least educate the patients on how they got there. And I always encourage them that if you consider some of these other things, that your success of either keeping it off or lessening the possibilities of getting it back is going to be much improved if you think about the things that may have caused you to get the belly to begin with. So this subject area is a way to approach both the cosmetic standpoint as well as some of the things we've talked about in terms of hormones, stress, inflammation, insulin resistance, which I'll get into as well. So this is, I think, a great way. So, you know, typically this patient comes in. So I'll just give you kind of the common scenario. So it's like, since your hairdresser at your Mona Lisa, there's fairly young, they're healthy, they have maybe, you know, they're maybe 5 pounds overweight, sometimes 20, 40 pounds overweight, let's say, and they have this little belly. And so I'm thinking, I'm always talking to them, and this is going to be true for most, but not all, but I'm talking to them about their diets, of course. We wanted to see, you know, are they overeaters? Do they eat the wrong foods? And, you know, are they eating too much sweets? And are they exercising? So those are typical things that I think everyone understands, that if you don't exercise that much, you're going to gain weight. If you eat too many sweets, people understand that. But I wanted to get into the point of something called insulin resistance. And insulin resistance basically is a problem that one can develop over time. And most of it actually has to do with what you eat in general. So obviously, if you have things that have high sugar content or things that actually have high carbohydrate content, things that are what I consider more processed foods. So what is a processed food? Well, processed foods are things that are processed before you eat them. So if my rule of thumb is that if you find a food that's been in a box or a package, that's been processed. So obviously that's going to be cookies, crackers, chips, any of those sorts of things are processed foods. That includes frozen dinners. That includes most items. And if you go into a store and you find yourself in the middle aisles in the store, those things are all going to be processed. So things that are not processed are fresh fruits and vegetables, some of the meats and some of the dairies, let's say, that are not processed or at least have little in them that would be considered bad. So, for example, so if you start to eat some of these things, what it does is that it causes your body to increase the blood sugar. And when your blood sugar starts to rise, and it starts to rise high fast or remains high over a period of time, what happens is that there is a hormone in your body called insulin. And insulin is produced in the body to react to the blood sugars that is caused by your food. And so the idea of the insulin hormone is that it helps to absorb some of that sugar inside the cell. So it's a hormone that's produced to allow the sugar to enter the cell so that the body can use this carbohydrate, let's say, as energy. But what happens is that if you eat these processed foods, your insulin will actually rise fairly high. And what will happen is that if you continue to eat these things, then your body remains high with insulin and you develop something called insulin resistance. And insulin resistance is exactly what you don't want to have, because what happens is insulin resistance means that the insulin will cause your body to, one, store everything to fat. So if you have that, obviously your body's going to be signaled to store everything that it eats into fat, and that fat obviously ends up in your belly. So that's one problem. Now, insulin will also make you crave as well. So if you find yourself craving for sugars, but usually carbohydrates more, but sometimes sugars as well, if you find yourself craving for those carbohydrates, that usually is a sign that is reflective of high insulin or insulin resistance, and that's bad. The other thing also is the fact that it's high insulin causes inflammation. And this inflammation is throughout the body, and inflammation is really a bad thing. And over time, inflammation will lead down to the road of what we call metabolic syndrome. Metabolic syndrome is a process where you actually start to develop, for instance, high blood pressure, either pre-diabetes or diabetes, high cholesterol. So that is then a precursor to diabetes and then a precursor to strokes, heart attacks. And so this kind of leads down this slippery slope of inflammation. And it's believed, and there have actually been hundreds or maybe thousands of studies that looked at the idea of inflammation in your body. And inflammation is the precursor to disease, aging, and importantly, is to weight gain into the stomach. So insulin resistance is definitely bad. So I really try to identify things in the diet to really have people avoid. And, you know, if you have anything that basically is that has cornstarch, basically high fructose corn syrup, a lot of these other type of artificial preservatives and fillers, they all will actually make this problem worse. So it causes the insulin resistance. So absolutely, I'm going to make recommendations for people to really cut back on the carbohydrates, on the processed foods particularly, and really go after this whole idea of fresh vegetables more. And I really recommend that people eat 8 to 10 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables per day. And that might be sound like a surprise, because most people will say, oh, I eat a lot of vegetables. And you ask them, well, how many? Well, I have a salad for lunch, and I'll have some fruit or salad for dinner, and that'll be the only intake of vegetables, and everything else is really processed food. So this is not a good combination, and this will eventually lead to someone who have an increased belly. So definitely I'm focused on this aspect. And a part of, you know, when we actually do a cosmetic treatment, I'm kind of reiterating this whole idea of, you know, if there's insulin resistance problems, what can we do to improve it? Now, obviously, exercise is going to be helpful for weight, but really exercise, what it does is it also lowers your insulin, meaning that it makes your insulin smarter. So this is what happens when you exercise. Not only does it burn calories, but it actually makes your insulin smarter. The other issue about insulin resistance is that when you have high levels of insulin, you can have very active blood sugar. So a lot of people will say, you know, I feel like I'm hypoglycemic, and sometimes the blood sugar is low, high. This is a direct result of having high level of insulin. And sometimes people who say that when they have a big lunch, for instance, they feel really, really tired and feel like they have a food coma. Well, this is one of the signs of developing insulin resistance as well. So this is something that we have to really focus upon. The other thing actually I wanted to talk about real quick is also the idea of actually grains. And we went to this conference last weekend, and they really talked about the concern of actually grains. Now, this will be actually a separate topic in a future talk, but what we've learned basically from the talk is that in general, even grains, even whole grains could be concerning, because whole grains have certain types of proteins that people can have allergies or can be actually cytotoxic. So this is basically, in a way, a change in our practice, in the sense that I used to really recommend whole grains as vegetables, but now I'm actually going to say that particularly wheat, we're actually going to have people really stay away from the wheat issue as well. And that's something that I think it is a new type of change for us. So other topic that is, you know, other types of things that can cause people to gain weight. And the next thing I want to talk about is really high stress and hormone imbalance, and how this can affect people's belly. So when we come back from the talk, I will talk about those things. So please stay tuned.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
If you have a child in your life with autism, there may be a lot of questions that you need answered. What if your child has recently been diagnosed? Or maybe you have a question about treatment that your child is currently undergoing. For answers to these and more, tune into Autism Spectrum Radio. Our guests will include parents and experts to discuss current experiences, treatments, and breakthroughs for those living with autism. Listen every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Are you living your vital life? One that is showcasing you at your full potential? There are many issues that stand in the way of most people achieving their full potential. We will discuss these issues and how to overcome them each week on The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, with host Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. Living the vital life often requires that we trust our own intuitive voice and that we view illness or life challenges as calls to action to reconnect with the deeper urges of our spirit or soul. Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Health and wellness is about making lifestyle choices that make us feel good about ourselves. It's easier knowing what to do than it is doing it. Listen to The TAMS, Toward a Magnificent Self, Health and Wellness Show, with your host, Tammy Anastasia, M.A. Tammy will explore and uncover the answers to what gets in the way of our motivation. Through her expertise and occasional guest experts, Tammy will inspire and motivate you to make realistic lifestyle changes. Listen live every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to John Tang at rejuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N Tang at R-E-J-U-V-E medical.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Health and Beauty for Life show. I'm Alexandra, and Dr. Tang is also here. Dr. Tang was talking about insulin resistance, and how processed foods affects that. And I wanted him to explain a little bit more about processed foods because, you know, as a busy, you know, businesswoman, mom, and there's many of us out there, we're always on the go, running on the go. And this, with this new craze of decreasing carbs and eating healthy vegetables, fruits, and so forth, there is a, you know, there are foods now that are more friendlier to those, to people like us, men and women. So, Dr. Tang, what are your thoughts on like the packaged grilled chickens, the sliced deli meats that we can get over the, you know, like at Whole Foods, they have this beautiful arrangement of deli meats that you can ask and they'll slice them for you.
To answer your question, I think the deli meats that they actually cut and they're actually grown and they're in a way range-free or grass-fed type of things, those are the best. So if you are going to eat the meats, you want to go for that type of meat. Things that are packaged, what tends to happen is they put a lot of nitrates in the packaging of meats, let's say, so that it helps to preserve the meats. So that's going to be processed in the sense that they use these preservatives to help to preserve it so that they can actually sell it in a package. So that's what you don't want to have because those things ultimately cause inflammation. Now, there are things, for instance, in regular meats, you know, obviously I don't know if people know this, but a lot of the regular meats, they are these chickens or the beef, you know, they're actually fed steroids. They're actually fed things to help resist infections. So those things get into the meat supply, and eventually it gets into us. And so what happens is as we eat these particular meats, we get these preservatives, we get these hormones, we get these genetically modified foods, and we eat them. And this starts to become and create serious issues. And you know, the bottom line is that this will cause either toxins, which cause inflammation in our body. And I'm going to always kind of refer back to this inflammation. So insulin resistance causes inflammation. Toxins causes inflammation. Preservatives causes inflammation. And inflammation is going to be the precursor to let's say, weight in this case of the topic today.
And, you know, Dr. Tang, another thing that I also wanted to share with our listeners is that I'm not a big fan of these little sliced apples in a bag for kids. And I know that, you know, we really want to encourage children to start eating apples and grapes for their snacks at school. But those also have a lot of preservatives so they don't oxidize, so they don't turn brown. And I just wanted to share with our listeners that that's also not very healthy. It's better to just give your child a peeled orange that you peeled yourself before they go to school, or wash the grapes yourself at home and put them in a little zip bag.
Yes, absolutely, because they do put different chemicals to make them look nice so they don't actually turn color.
But I sorry to interrupt, but I bring that up because we, like I said, as busy Americans, you know, working every day, we are trying to be more health conscious, but we're grabbing these things. And that's why I just wanted to bring that up to be part of the food that is processed. Because although we say fruits and vegetables, there are a lot of fruits and vegetables now that we can get packaged because that's what the new trend is.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. I mean, our lifestyle really doesn't permit us to do what we did in the 1800s, let's say, and that is to grow our own fruits and vegetables. So obviously that's going to be, you know, the freshest and the least toxic. And so if you have a chance, if you live in the area that we can actually have a farmer's market, and they locally produce these fruits and vegetables, that's going to be the best. Now, for the average person, what you want to do, if you can, is to buy them fresh, and you want to wash them really well. And so that's probably the best you can do. Now, another example is the orange juice. You know, it might say 100% orange juice, and it may look very good and taste very good, but this is still going to be a process. One is it's going to be pasteurized to kill off a lot of the bacteria, so that's going to kill a lot of the nutrients and enzymes, and that's going to obviously make it easier to raise your blood sugar. So, you know, the idea is that you don't want to raise your blood sugar. You want actually your blood sugars to be fairly level. And so these peaks and valleys caused by the foods that we eat, processed orange juice, is going to do that. And that's going to be harmful to us in the long run, both in our weight, our stomach, as well as our health.
Yes. And just to go full circle, I mean, we bring this up because the processed foods causes the inflammation, which is caused from the insulin resistance, and which from there we get our belly fat.
Right. Now, another thing that I also look at is the age of the patient, actually. You know, a lot of women who come to us, they're either 25 to 45, who have this pouch in their stomachs. And oftentimes this is going to be related to a hormone imbalance. And, you know, one of the things we talked about in the very beginning, in the first one or two shows, is the idea that as, for instance, women, as they age, they start to lose a hormone called progesterone. And progesterone is actually a female hormone that helps you develop cycles. So you can also deliver babies and so forth. Now, this is very important for the uterus. Now, progesterone is also very important for weight. Without the progesterone, your thyroid actually doesn't work as well. So this actually affects your metabolism, because thyroid actually affects your metabolism. So as you age, you lose progesterone. And then obviously then you start to lose testosterone, which is another important hormone for metabolism. And as your metabolism decreases, your body's your weight will increase, because it lowers your basal metabolic rate, which means that every time that you're doing nothing, you're burning less calories. So you in a sense can be eating better, exercising more, but either gain weight or not even lose weight, even though you're trying to lose weight. So looking at these different hormone imbalances, for instance, is very important, because ultimately, if you are not treating the underlying cause of your belly fat, you will slowly develop this over time. So even if we did a treatment for you and you're very successful, if we didn't correct this hormone imbalance, your body will eventually gain this back. And so we obviously want to at least talk about this and have you have patients think about this, because this is what is required to have the best long-term success.
And I'm sure that's exactly what our patients are looking for when they come in. Over the years that we're doing this, we've had our wellness clinic, I really finally get it, how weight loss isn't just the first 5 pounds or the first 10 pounds. And that's exactly what, as a woman, we want. We just want to get rid of it no matter what. We just want to get rid of it. But then eventually it comes back. And this new approach where we're doing these small changes, which eventually become larger, bigger changes, really keeps the weight off. And it really makes it much more difficult to gain the weight.
Now, one of the things I also wanted to emphasize, and that's kind of to your point, is that a lot of younger girls, let's say, they say, well, I'm trying to lose weight for this particular event. I'll just starve myself. I won't eat. And and it's, I think, very true for a lot of
women. So familiar.
So I'll just, you know, I'll skip dinner. I'll just, you know, skip it for a week and lose that. And, you know, you can get away with that, I think, you know, for when you're younger and so forth. You can lose a few pounds and maybe fit in your dress a little bit better. But long-term-wise, that's not going to help you at all. And in fact, that actually counteracts what you want to do, because this will eventually make you gain weight. And the reason for this is because if you starve yourself over a period of time, your body will signal to itself. And one of the things it does is that it gets into what we call starvation mode. And starvation mode basically tells the body that anytime you do eat after that, it's a time that you, that your body is actually going to store things. So your body will have a signal saying, okay, I'm going to store whatever I eat from now on and store it. And it's going to store into fat. So this is actually a stressor on your body. And your body's going to respond by wanting to store things. So when you do eventually eat again, your body's going to actually store it. And so this is going to be more harmful in the long run. So the point of really this whole thing is, if you actually just ate very evenly, but really ate very nutrient dense. I like to use nutrient dense type of foods, meaning fruits and vegetables, not processed and so forth. The body, you will be able to eat and feed your bodies, and you will feel fine without having to go through this whole ordeal about starving yourself and feeling horrible just to lose the 1 or 2 pounds. So this is something I really wanted to point out. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, there are clinics we provide it too, but the phentermine, these other diet suppressants, you know, people think that this is the solution to everything because it works for the first couple months. But, you know, in reality, these medications, they only starve people. They don't really, you know, address this whole idea of more of a balanced approach and so forth. These patients end up gaining the weight back. So eventually, after a few months, usually, they end up gaining it back because they don't have the control. They don't develop this self-control. They basically rely on this medication. It turns on, turns off. And then they gain the weight back. So really, you know, the long-term approach is this whole idea of looking at the hormones, looking at whether there's insulin resistance. And the last part of it is going to be about cortisol. And cortisol has everything to do with stress. So when people start to say that, you know, I've gained so much weight ever since I went through my divorce or my loved one passed away or something like that, you know, that is a high stress level. So we're always talking about, are there these stressors in your life? And it can be both physical, psychological, but the stress causes an increase in cortisol. And that cortisol is going to be very detrimental because cortisol, once again, causes inflammation. And inflammation, like I said, causes disease and it causes obesity. So you hear the word inflammation, but it's actually stress causing high cortisol, which is a stress hormone. Now, when we come back, I'll wrap that up and we'll get into the more fun part. And that is, you know, how to actually cosmetically treat. We'll give you some options at that point. So please stay tuned.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Every weekend, take some time out of your schedule for New Reflections featuring Dr. Adam Rubenstein. It's a show about all things aesthetic, from skincare to plastic surgery, health and beauty. You'll learn about the aesthetic products and procedures to embrace or avoid. Each show will feature live, virtual, interactive consultations that you'll be able to follow along with and featured guests from the world of beauty and aesthetics. Listen Saturdays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, for New Reflections with Dr. Adam Rubenstein on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here. Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to johntang@rejuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N Tang at rejuvemedical.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Health and Beauty for Life show. I'm Dr. Tang. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Alexandra. We're actually talking about how to lose your belly, but we were really discussing how we got there to begin with and how did we actually gain this belly. So I wanted to finish up on talking about cortisol. Now, cortisol is a hormone that's made by the body, and it is a component of stress. So when someone gets stressed, your body makes cortisol. And the idea of cortisol is that it's a hormone that makes you more alert. It makes you gives you a little more energy to do things. But what happens is that when you start to develop high cortisol for a long period of time, it has that counter effect. And that counter effect actually is what causes the inflammation. So what you'll find is people who are stressed all the time, they will have actually desires, cravings for sugars, and the body thinks that it is in dire need to sustain life, basically, and so it starts to make you crave. And so this adds to the problem, of course. As you're eating more sugars, you're adding to more weight. But what happens with the high cortisol is that the cortisol makes your body store things into fat, particularly in the stomach. So people who are stressed will often have a belly in their stomach. So obviously this is something that has to be responded to, and it has to be addressed. But that's definitely one of the causes of this. Now, Alexandra, do you feel like we need to talk anything more about the stress, or could we actually talk about the actual treatments?
No, I think you touched pretty much all the bases, but I do want you to maybe talk about a little bit more on if you are stressed and somebody wants to reduce the cortisol naturally, or maybe they're not ready to go see a doctor about this. Do you have any tips on how they could do that?
Yes, you know, obviously you definitely want to identify the stressor in your life, and if you're able to remove that stressor, that's the easiest and the most obvious thing. But oftentimes, you know, you can be able to remove your job or your wife or your husband or anything like that. So you'll have to be able to, you know, talk, and whether that's therapy or finding some kind of resolution to some problems. Now, you do want to find activities that you like to do to help reduce the stress. So if that's exercise, listening to music, or doing hobbies, that's very important. This is why people do Tai Chi, and they do yoga, and they do other things, because that oftentimes will relieve the stress as well.
But isn't there a supplement?
Yes.
Because we have a supplement here that they could take as well if they don't want to get into any, you know, RX medications or anything like that.
Definitely there are supplements that you can take, and they're natural supplements that are helpful for people, particularly those who find it hard to, let's say, fall asleep. So some of the ingredients include adaptogens to help support the adrenals, and they include something called phosphatidylserine, which naturally lowers the stress level down. And that's something that one can take. We have a supplement called Adrenavive, or Adrenavive, depending on how you pronounce it. And that's something that you can take either at night or throughout the day. So that's another supplement. So for those who are interested, you can email us at rejuve, R-E-J-U-V-E 06 at gmail.com. And we can provide you the source of how to do that.
Because just to clarify one more time, you don't have to be, you know, you can have a great family life and a great social life, but work could be very, very stressful. And that could raise your cortisol, just the stressors of work itself.
Right. And the other thing is also, you can actually, once again, eat the wrong foods, and that can cause gut inflammation, which is a stressor on your gut. And that's kind of what we talked about a little bit in terms of food sensitivities, so eating things that doesn't agree with you. So for all those people who feel that bloating is normal, having low gas is normal, or having constipation or heartburn, they are not normal, actually. They could be signs of actually gut irritation and gut inflammation, which causes a stressor on your body, which increases cortisol, which increases inflammation, which increases the weight. And so those things are definitely something that one has to consider if you want to be successful in the long term. Now, one of the treatments I wanted to talk about, and I really want to highlight because we did get some emails about this, is something called mesotherapy. And so now we're going to talk about, you know, what things can you do to treat this gut for guys or this belly for women. Is there a procedure that is non-surgical, let's say? We always get this interest of, do you have something non-surgical? Because I'm not quite ready for liposuction. I'm not quite ready for laser liposuction or something invasive such as that. So mesotherapy is one option. Mesotherapy is M-E-S-O, meso, not M-I-S-O like the miso soup. Mesotherapy is something that was actually adopted and started by a French doctor in 1952. It's been out there for a long time. It's actually in an integral part of French medicine since 1987. The reasons why you probably haven't heard of it in the United States is that very few people provide it. We've been actually doing it for the last 7 years. The reason why it hasn't grown in popularity as much as it should is because really the American Board of Plastic Surgery has really downplayed it, saying that there's really no evidence that it works. And the idea is that mesotherapy is an injection technique, and how it works is that you are putting either a natural herbal supplement or medicinal supplements or medicines into the fat. So you're actually doing injections. You're putting some solution into the fat, and this basically dissolves the fat. It actually breaks up the fat cell, and it actually starts to disrupt what we call the connective tissue. And so you're actually breaking down some of the actual fat in the belly. The comment I made about the American Board of Plastic Surgery is because there's really not a lot of studies done in mesotherapy, and because doctors who do mesotherapy, they all have their own different concoctions, so there's no kind of uniform kind of solution. So there hasn't been a lot of studies out there, and therefore it's very easy to really say, well, does it work, because there's no studies. Now, there's no driving force, there's no particular company or particular branch that's really pushing for it. In French medicine, like I said, it is a very well accepted part of French medicine, and so they do it. We've probably in our clinic have done, I would say, at least 500, 600, 700 patients or so. So we've had a fair amount of experience with it. I definitely think that mesotherapy is one option that patients can consider to break down the fat. We've actually seen patients lose 3-4 inches from their bellies, and you can inject this mesotherapy into any area really that has fat. So whether it's the belly or the flanks or the thighs or the saddlebags, even the neck and chin area, arms, we can do. Now, mesotherapy, going back to how it works, it is a solution that breaks up the fat cell membrane. And what happens is that it causes a couple of things to happen. One is that as the cells are being broken down, the body actually starts to use some of that broken down material, and these cells inside your body start to use some of that fat as energy, because one of the components, something called L-carnitine, helps to transfer some of that excess fat, or actually excess broken down fat, into other cells to use it as energy. The second thing, what it does is that it actually does induce inflammation. So this is the only time where I will accept inflammation in your body because it's supposed to be short-lived and just for the time you're doing it. Otherwise, I wouldn't like it if it was ongoing, but this is the only way you can actually destroy things. So what happens is that this inflammatory response. So what happens is your body, when you get the miso, you get swollen. The fast cell membrane breaks, causes a release of histamines. Histamines causes inflammation. And this inflammation actually triggers a response that attracts cells in your body to come to its aid. And when it starts to look at what's going on, these cells in your body, it says, okay, broken up fat cells, broken up tissue, this doesn't belong here, so let's remove it. So your body removes it, and it actually takes away some of this fat that you have. It doesn't remove all the fat, but it removes some of the fat. So the fat doesn't magically go in one area and out the other area per se. The body actually destroys some of that. So you're actually destroying some of this fat. So you can do this. Now, this will require a series of treatments. So depending on how much you're trying to treat, if you obviously have 1 inch, you will require 3 to 4 treatment sessions. If you have 3 inches, this is going to require, let's say, 9 to 12 treatment sessions. So the number of inches will determine how many treatments that you'll have. So typically patients do this every 1 to 2 weeks. And usually what I notice is that after maybe the second or third treatment, people start to actually see a difference. Now, for the average person, they need to see probably about an inch of fat loss before they actually visibly, noticeably see this. And so it takes about 3 to 4 treatments, but when you get there, people obviously see a difference. And in our clinic, I would say all the patients who were able to follow through and finish treatments, they all saw improvement, whether that's 1, 2, or 3, even 4 inches. It is a matter of time before they see that. Mesotherapy is, I consider, a very safe treatment. It causes local inflammation only. There is some soreness that you have, and that usually, the swelling and soreness usually lasts about 3 to 5 days. You can get some bruising. Obviously, when you're injecting some medicines, there's possible to cause some bruising. Depends on the area. In the stomachs, I don't see it very very often. In the legs, I probably see it a little bit more. But bruising is probably, you know, I would say 10-20% of the time. So not a whole lot, but obviously there's some possibilities there. Now, for people who hate needles, you know, this is definitely something that, you know, in order to do this, you have to do the injection. So, but we've had quite a few patients who, let's say, didn't like needles, able to do that. And, you know, considering that when you do mesotherapy, when you do injections, the main positive is that one is there's no scar. With any other surgical procedure, you will have a scar. With the mesotherapy, there's really no scar at all. And the other thing also is you don't have to miss work or any major activity. Now, you are sore and swollen, but that does not take people out where you have to miss work for a week. So, you know, if that's a concern of you where you don't have time to miss anything, you can do the mesotherapy, and that can be another viable option. So,
Dr. Tang, when we get back from a break, I'd like to elaborate a little bit more about how patients feel, what to expect, and so forth. So we'll be right back.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Approximately 1 in 150 children are affected by autism, giving autism the undesired ranking as the most prevalent childhood developmental disorder in the U.S. 67 children will be diagnosed today. That is nearly one child every 20 minutes. Autism One, a conversation of hope, hosted by Terry Aranga, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Terry offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcast each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Health and Beauty for Life with Dr. Tang and Alexandra. If you have any questions or comments, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to John Tang at rejuvemedical.com. That's J-O-H-N Tang at R-E-J-U-V-E medical.com. Now, back to this week's show. It's a beautiful day.
Thank you for listening. You're listening to the Health and Beauty for Life show. We are talking about how to lose your belly, and we are actually talking about a procedure called mesotherapy. Go ahead, Alexandra.
Well, I just wanted to just kind of emphasize that although this is a great procedure, I've had it done myself. Definitely works. It's not a procedure that you want done 2 weeks before a great, an event that you're trying to squeeze into a dress or so forth. The swelling does last quite a bit. Like, for example, if I speak for myself, after one or two treatments, I really don't see much until about a month after the last treatment. It takes about 2 weeks for the swelling to start coming down. By the third week, you really see like, wow, this looks a lot slimmer. Definitely by week four, you're like, wow, this looks awesome. I can really tell I look smaller. So you definitely have to keep that in mind. And when you want to start something like mesotherapy, you want to give yourself some months, you know, a couple months before a big event. And another tip I wanted to, if any of the listeners decide to go forward, it is very, very uncomfortable the first couple hours of the treatment. You feel like you've done like 1,000 sit-ups. And what I usually tell the patients that come in the office is to come with yoga pants, or I tell the men who come in, come with sweats, and then to bring Spanx. Because the tightness of the Spanx really makes you, it helps tolerate the uncomfortableness that you're going to feel the next couple days. And then after that, you're fine. But, you know, it's not pain like, oh my God, this is pain like having a baby or I don't know, some people have different degrees of pain, but it's very uncomfortable in the sense it's like when you go work out for the first time in 2 years and you're lifting weights and you're doing all these sit-ups, the next day you can't even move because you're so sore. That's how mesotherapy feels like.
Yeah, going back to your point, I actually have had mesotherapy myself, and I've done it two times or three times throughout the 5-6 years. And for me personally, I felt like the initial 10 minutes to me felt like a bee sting. The bee sting got there for like 10 minutes or so, and it got a little bit better. I felt sore. It was definitely a workout sore, like Alexandra said. So, you know, everyone has a little difference in terms of how they feel. Going also to your other point, I definitely recommend that someone who is planning something to go ahead and do this many months in advance, because obviously there is some swelling, a lot of swelling to begin with, and there's some residual swelling. And then about a month later, pretty much all the swelling goes away if you were just to do one treatment. But what I mentioned is that you're going to do or need multiple treatments. So the more time that we have to do this, the better. And that way you can plan on how to best approach this. So I've had patients who were planning for summer in the winter, let's say. And that to me is enough time where I can actually, you know, plan things out and make their summer a great summer. So
now a couple areas, Dr. Tang, I don't know if you would agree with me, that do not need usually two treatments would be under the chin and the arms. I mean, although we have done multiple treatments in those areas, but most people seem to be okay with just one treatment under the chin, and the results in the arms are awesome with just one.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously it depends how much fat someone has on the arms. So I've done probably two treatments on a lot of people, and sometimes four to five, let's say. But that's going to definitely require less treatments in the arms than the belly. The belly, obviously, if you have, if you look down, you say, I can pinch 2-3 inches. That's going to take probably at least an average 8 to 12 treatments there. So that kind of gives someone an idea. And we can also do kind of two treatments at a time. And when I say a treatment for the listeners, I'm talking about, we usually use a syringe. That one syringe is considered one treatment. So one syringe can treat the belly, can treat the two flanks, let's say. But we can double up and we can use two syringes or two treatments at a time if the patient can tolerate that. But going back to the chin area, oftentimes one treatment. I just saw a patient back today who I did miso, and it's been actually about a year, I guess. She did one treatment, looked great, everything looked totally fine. She hasn't gained anything back because you shouldn't. Her weight is the same, and she's gonna see, I would say, semi-permanent. So the other thing I wanted to emphasize is that these results are semi-permanent, meaning that when you treat the fat is partially destroyed, partially taken away. If as long as you don't gain the weight back, that fat will remain treated. Now, if you were to gain weight, however, the fat cells that you have still will actually hypertrophy or actually enlarge, and you can get this back. So obviously, we have to think about the long-term implications of how to maintain. This is why we spent the whole half show talking about what you can do to maintain your weight. And so if you go by those principles, what you've done with the mesotherapy is pretty much semi-permanent.
So can you quickly just touch base on who is not a candidate for mesotherapy?
People who are not candidates, for one, are people who have any active disease. So if you have active liver disease, if you have a cancer that's growing, if you have uncontrolled diabetes, if you have are taking medications such as Coumadin to thin your blood, if you have kidney failure, heart failure, local infections into the skin area that you're trying to treat, these are not good candidates.
Okay, thank you.
Now, we were going to talk about X-Lis, but I think we're going to be short on really talking about that. But for the listeners out there, I really just wanted to at least bring up the idea that there are other treatments that we have. One of the treatments is called X-Lis, spelled E-X-I-L-I-S. This is a non-surgical device that uses something called radio frequency. Radio frequency is just a technology to deliver heat going through the skin to the fat. So this is a great treatment for, let's say, someone who does not want to do any type of injections, who are scared of needles, who is looking to lose about an inch to inch and a half. And so you can actually rub this device over the treated area, which is, let's say, the stomach, and you can lose an inch, inch and a half. And the pluses of this device is that you can lose it in a way that there's no downtime, there's no needles, and you can safely do this. And the advantage is that you can tighten the skin because it is a heating device, the skin will actually respond as well. So the skin texture improves. So someone who has, let's say, a couple of inches to lose, but also has some loose skin, you know, they don't want a tummy tuck. Before, there was no option. You either have to have a tummy tuck or you couldn't treat this at all. But today we do have the X-Lis. So X-Lis requires a series of usually four treatments to do this. So this is something we did talk about a little bit on the body sculpting part of it, but I at least wanted to mention that so people can do their own research. So, wow, Alexandra.
I know, it's over.
And we didn't even talk about all the other possibilities as well, but this is a great show. I think we'll have to touch upon this show in the future. Thank you, listeners, for listening. Next week, we're actually are going to be out for Christmas, and so we'll have one of the shows that we've had in the following week. We are taking any suggestions, so if you want to email us, rejuve06@gmail.com. If you have some ideas that you want us to discuss, please email us, and we can maybe consider that for our next topic. So we don't have any particular topics at this present time, but please email us if you have a chance. But once again, thank you for listening to the Health and Beauty for Life show. I'm John, and Alexandra's here. Please go out and live your life, and don't let life leave you. Thank you once again.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Health and Beauty for Life is heard live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Live younger this week. It's a beautiful-